You're listening to an American Free Press podcast. Hello and welcome. On March 13th, 2002, Jane's Information Group, a highly respected UK publication that analyzes global intelligence and the defense industry, reported, "It is rather strange that the U.S. media, with one noticeable exception, seem to be ignoring what may well prove to be the most explosive story since the September 11th attacks, the alleged breakup of a major Israeli espionage operation in the United States, which aimed to infiltrate both the Justice and Defense Departments. In Victor Thorne's shattering expose, 9/11 Evil, Israel's Central Role in the September 11th Terrorist Attacks, on page 70 he states, 9/11 was an intricately planned act of state-sponsored terrorism concocted by a foreign government, Israel, in unison with an ardently loyal faction of neocon crazies who had burrowed their way into the Pentagon, State Department, and White House. Assisting them were a host of defense contractors, computer gurus, and explosives experts who made the whole thing happen on the morning of September 11th, 2001. Victor Thorne, thanks for joining us today.
Well, it's great to be here, Dave, and thanks for that introduction. When I put this book out to coincide with the fifth anniversary of 9/11, on the cover it says the most dangerous 9/11 book ever written, and I believe that still holds today because this really is the central thesis of what happened on the morning of 9/11. And before really getting into some of the specifics in this book, what we really have to ask ourselves is we have this supposed 9/11 truth movement. And like we always said on Wing TV, how can the truth hurt a truth movement? Well, if Israel was involved, and they were involved, in the September 11th terrorist attacks, then why can't we tell this truth inside this movement? Well, what we have and what we're seeing in the last few weeks is this big brouhaha in New York City about a mosque that some people want to build a couple blocks from Ground Zero. And what we're seeing is we have these degrees of separation from the truth. Right. And what we're supposed to believe with the official story is that there were these 19 Arab cave dwellers that came from Saudi Arabia primarily, and under the tutelage of Osama bin Laden, they hijacked these planes and flew two of them into buildings in New York City, the World Trade Center towers, one of them supposedly into the Pentagon, while another one supposedly crashed in Shanksville. But what we're seeing isn't the truth. We're seeing degrees of separation and distraction and diversion away from the truth. So right now we have this mosque. And before that we had the government's official conspiracy theory about how this happened. But we're not seeing the truth about what really happened. And in this book, what I tried to do was show who was involved at the central core. So in a book previous to this one called 9/11 on Trial, I examined the mechanic of how the World Trade Center towers came down via controlled demolition. And I never identified who was behind it. Well, as a natural progression, then I wrote 9/11 Evil. And what I liken it to, Dave, is that say you come home and you find that your house had been burglarized. And the police are right there. And you ask them, who did this? And they say, well, the people that did it were wearing brown shoes and a blue shirt. And you're like, all right, but who did it? And they say, well, they were driving a 2006 Chevy. And then he said, but who did it? And they said, well, they broke in by the back door and they broke the window out. And then they went in and stole a TV and a camera. And you say, okay, I know all that stuff, but who did it?
Right.
And the police say, we're not going to tell you who did it. Well, this is precisely what the 9/11 truth movement is doing, is they're refusing to tell the tens of thousands of people who actually was behind this.
Who is the 9/11 truth movement? I mean, who are they?
Well, there's all different kind of factions, and there's no central group, but you have a big contingent in New York City. You have another big contingent out in San Francisco and various different ones. They have all kind of different names, and you can tell the ones who refuse to tell the truth because they all link up to each other, and then they exclude those people and groups that are telling the truth. And one of the biggest travesties that I've noticed over the last 9 years is that in the first 2 or 3 years after 9/11, the American Free Free Press broke more original stories and told more truth about 9/11 than any other entity out there.
Right.
Yet these supposed truth groups refused to acknowledge the American Free Press or link to any of the information that came out from them. And that includes 9/11 on trial, 9/11 evil. They refused to acknowledge the anthology that American Free Press put out debunking 9/11. And one thing that is the greatest example, really, of Israeli PR that I've ever seen is when you see all of these signs at Ground Zero or at the rallies, and it says 9/11 was an inside job.
Right.
Now you think to yourself, well, boy, that's telling the truth, right? That it was an inside job.
Mm-hmm.
But I say this is nothing but a PR con job, because what we're looking at is that they're saying these 9/11 truthers holding their signs are willing to blame elements within their own government who they say are guilty. And they are guilty. There's people like Richard Myers and Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney. But these 9/11 truthers won't even identify them as what they really are, Israel firsters. What they do is they call them neocons, or they say, this is all a job of the New World Order and the Illuminati, you know,
right.
But they won't identify them. So these people are willing to blame factions within our own government, but they won't identify any involvement by a foreign government, namely Israel.
Right.
So to me, what they've become is nothing but these mind-numbed puppets, and it's almost an act of betrayal or treason against this country by them, because they're saying, we're willing to identify the guilty parties within our own government due to their actions on 9/11, but we won't identify the actions of a foreign government.
I want to just touch upon the four elements that you say were necessary so the attacks could happen. One was Bush being, you put selected, which was funny, instead of elected. Two, the Pentagon commandeered. Three, the World Trade Center had to be purchased from the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. And four, the World Trade Center and airport security had to be controlled. You touch upon these elements as a precursor for the attacks. You show very clearly that these elements were put in place and how they were done. What I don't understand, Victor, is with all the evidence that you put out and with all the evidence that is there for everybody to see, to read, and to understand, why is the 9/11 truth movement ignoring the obvious that Israel clearly, so very clearly, had their hands in 9/11 and were the central figure? Why are they ignoring that?
Well, one of the gauges that we used early within the first couple of years after 9/11 was to see if somebody would actually identify the World Trade Center towers as coming down via a controlled demolition. But an even more important gauge that everybody listening to this show right now can use is when they listen to a Patriot radio show or they examine these different books or read articles, the truest gauge they can use is do they identify Israel's role in 9/11 or not? And if an author or a radio show host or anybody else, an investigative journalist, doesn't identify Israel, then you have to ask yourself, why are they deliberately protecting these psychopathic criminals? Why are they doing it? And, you know, when we move ahead now, and if you would perform a poll in any city across America, go down to a main street somewhere and stop the first 50 people that walk by you, and you ask them a question, who were the first people arrested immediately following the 9/11 terrorist attacks? And I'll bet you 50 of the 50 people would respond, well, they were Muslims, of course.
Right.
They were the first people arrested. But that's entirely untrue, because the first people arrested immediately after 9/11 were Israelis. They
right.
were what came to be known as the Dancing Israelis. And what they were was really art students that were formerly members of the Israeli military and intelligence units.
Well, they were posing as art students, right?
Right. Posing as, yeah, that's a good point to clarify. They're posing as art students. And when they were arrested, Dave, here's what they were found with. Box cutters. That's kind of interesting, right? Because we're told the terrorists used box cutters. They had bomb-making materials in this van that they were arrested in. They had $4,700 in cash, foreign passports, and they had maps of New York City monuments that were highlighted. They were dressed like Arabs, and when the police arrested them, their exact words, they said that they were mixing some junk. Now, people say, well, what kind of junk were they mixing? Well, when they brought in the bomb-sniffing dogs, the dogs smelled explosives inside this van. Why doesn't the American public know any of this information? Because if Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw or Bill O'Reilly had come on the news on the evening of September 11th or September 12th or 13th and said exactly what I just said right there.
Which is the truth, which is 100% the truth.
Right, which is the truth, of course. And, you know, there's various references in 9/11 Evil to where this information came from. So why don't people know this? And would it dramatically change their perception of who the guilty parties were on the morning of September 11th? Well, of course it would. But all that we were shown within those first few hours immediately was these pictures of 19 Arab cave dwellers that were sponsored by Osama bin Laden. And because they hated America's freedom, they had to hijack these planes. Just use simple common sense. You say, well, even if they did do this, how could they have made the most powerful military in the world, the United States military, stand down for an hour and a half and right. not go after these planes and try to stop them? Or why did, you know, were they using telepathy or something to make these fighter jets go in the wrong direction so they wouldn't prevent any of this? Not right. to mention, the Pentagon is the most well-guarded space on the planet Earth, yet they simply allowed some guy that couldn't even fly, who wasn't even permitted to rent a plane right. a couple weeks earlier because they said his motor skills were so bad that he probably wasn't even capable of driving an automobile. Yet this guy commandeered a jet plane into the most guarded facility on the planet Earth, and the Pentagon simply allowed it to happen and didn't shoot it from the sky or anything.
Not only that, where is the plane's wreckage that hit the Pentagon?
And also, even more importantly, in Shanksville, because in the 9 years since 9/11, every single plane crash I've ever seen, there's one common factor. There's always wreckage. But at the Pentagon, there's no wreckage. And in Shanksville, there's absolutely no wreckage. All you see is a 20-foot-wide crater in the ground, which actually came from a missile being shot into the ground there. So really, Dave, what it takes is if anybody has the least an eighth-grade education, they can see through the government's conspiracy theory in an hour or less. It only takes 1 hour
right.
to figure out 9/11.
Right.
You know, and then, of course, there's a lot more details beyond that. But in 1 hour, you can scratch your head and say, oh, I really don't think that they're telling that's the truth.
Why are so many people ignorant to this truth? Is it because the mainstream media, you were talking about earlier, if Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw reported on it? In fact, Carl Cameron of Fox News, as you say on page 82, filed an explosive four-part report on the subject of Israeli involvement. And didn't Fox News pull it from their website?
Yeah, they absolutely did. And I have an answer to why people can't accept this. It's cognitive dissonance. And I had a good friend a few years ago, presented all this information to him. He sat there and listened. He was an elderly guy. He was a former military man, and listened to it all, took it all in, and he finally looked at me and he said, if I ever could allow myself to believe that our government was involved in this, he said, I'd have to kill myself. And that's how strong the resistance is, because once we realize that not only elements within our own government, but also our ally, our only ally in the Middle East,
right.
Israel, was involved in this, it completely breaks down everything. And people realize that these individuals aren't on our side whatsoever.
Right.
And it's the resistance to this is so great that people have to erect every defense mechanism possible to prevent this information to actually settling within their minds. Because once it does, they realize, my God, you know, the evil. And that's why I titled this book 9/11 Evil, because what we're seeing is the absolute face of evil, not only with the Israel firsters in our own government and the nation of Israel, but also our Congress, our media, and everybody else who's engaged in this cover-up and is suppressing this information out of fear. I challenge anybody out there to name one individual in Congress right now who's spoken the truth about 9/11, and that includes Ron Paul. Why hasn't one person on the floor of the House come out and said, look at all this information, and they could have stacks and reams of paper feet high and showing all the truth about this, but they don't. So it's one of the biggest cover-ups in the history of the world, and the only one that really, well, there's a few, but you know, we have to go back to the JFK assassination, which would be the other cover-up that's this monumental in scope before that.
Let's talk about Israel a little bit. And incidentally, for what it's worth, I do agree with you. This is perhaps the most important event in our recent history that really requires a thorough reexamination by those in power who can actually bring Israel, because you've proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, I think, that Israel was a central figure. This journalist, Ari Shavit, page 82 in your wonderful book, 9/11 Evil. Before I read this quote, I just want to let our listeners know that if you want to pick up a copy of 9/11 Evil, Israel's central role in the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks, the most dangerous 9/11 book ever written, it certainly is, by Victor Thorne. You can go to the website, AmericanFreePress.net, That's AmericanFreePress.net, all lowercase, no spaces, and click on Bookstore and you'll find it in there. Or alternatively, if you don't have the internet, you can just give us a call at 888-699-NEWS. That's 888-699-NEWS, and that translates to 888-699-6397. Now on page 82, Victor, where you bring up this journalist, Ari Shavit, he states, "We believe with absolute certitude that now, with the White House and Senate in our hands, along with the Pentagon and the New York Times, the lives of Arabs do not count as much as our own. Their blood does not count as much as our blood. We believe with absolute certitude that now, when we have AIPAC and Edgar Bronfman and the Anti-Defamation League, we truly have the right to tell 400,000 people that in 8 hours they must flee from their homes, and that we have the right to rain bombs on their villages and towns and populated areas, that we have the right to kill without any guilt." Now, Victor, this guy actually gets printed in Israel?
Well, this is a perfect example of Talmudic Jewish supremacy. This is a glaring example of how they view themselves in comparison to the rest of the world. And it's this arrogance and this supremacy that their life is more valuable than any other life that really leads to not only them believing that they're allowed to orchestrate and engineer the 9/11 terrorist attacks, but also what follows afterwards, which is the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, and soon to be, I'm sure, some type of strike against Iran. So we have to keep in mind this arrogance when we then look at the media, which is largely Jewish-owned, and when we go back again to these dancing Israelis. Their names were actually in the FBI's Criminal Division Counterterrorism Intelligence Database. They were seen actually dancing and celebrating while the World Trade Center towers were burning before they fell. The attorney for these dancing Israelis admitted that they worked for Israeli intelligence. And afterward, when they were returned inexplicably to Israel, they appeared on Israeli television and they were asked why they were seen on this roof filming with their cameras pointed towards the World Trade Center towers. Their answer was that they were there to document the event. Now, the most obvious question, of course, is how did they know there was an event that needed to be documented? Every person out there, when they woke up on the morning of September 11, 2001, did they know that there was an event that was about to happen that needed to be documented? Well, of course, nobody knew it, but somehow, did they have this premonition? You know, did they just happen to set up cameras? No, of course not. They had inside information. They knew what was about to happen. Then afterward, when these guys were arrested, they failed lie detector tests. And then, again, as I said, inexplicably, they were sent back to Israel by none other than Michael Chertoff.
Yeah, who is this guy, Michael Chertoff? Who is he?
Michael Chertoff was the original head of Homeland Security, and he's a dual Israeli-American citizen. So he took it upon himself to get these individuals, these dancing Israelis, he took it upon himself to make sure that they were transported back to Israel, which they were, and we've never heard anything, at least in this country, about them ever again. So if you examine them a little bit further, the dancing Israelis worked for this guy named Dominic Suter, who was Jewish, and he was the owner of Urban Moving Systems, which is the company that employed these supposed art students. Now in Forward Magazine, which is a Jewish publication, they identify Urban Moving Systems as a front for the Mossad. And of course, we all know the Mossad equals Israeli intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI also identified Suter and had him on a list for suspected involvement in terror attacks. So we start putting one and one and one together. We have a lot of ammunition now to support this argument that Israel was involved. Of course, there were all the Israeli spy rings that you mentioned in your introduction, that there were 140 Israeli nationals apprehended prior to 9/11, and then another 60 more were detained after 9/11. Now, how many spies were arrested before or after 9/11 from Brazil?
Let me check. Zero.
Zero. Right. Yeah. Or Germany. But we have 200 from Israel, spies in our own country, arrested before and after 9/11.
Where was the mainstream media?
Yeah, yeah. And when they did do reports on this, like Carl Cameron, it was squelched and suppressed and never allowed to see the light of day. You know, the FBI and the Drug Enforcement Agency actually issued alerts for these Israeli art students. And what they did prior to 9/11, Dave, was that they trailed these 19 patsies that mm-hmm. were the fall guys for 9/11, and they tracked them from Germany to Florida and Arizona and different parts around the country. And what they did was they created a legend for them.
Right.
So that after 9/11, then they could say, oh, you see, here's, they were here and here. And then they formed a story around them. And it's the exact same thing that they did with Lee Harvey Oswald
right.
in the months prior to the Kennedy assassination, is they created this legend so that afterward they could present this information to the public and say, oh, see, here's proof that this is a guilty party.
So this was another Mossad false flag operation like the attack on the USS Liberty in 1967.
Exact same thing, except on a larger scale. Right. But I don't think really the end result or what they intended to be the end result was different, because when they tried to sink the USS Liberty, what they wanted to do was draw the United States into the Six-Day War
mm-hmm.
and have the U.S. go over and attack Egypt and Syria and those countries in the Middle East. Well, as we see, the after effect of 9/11 was that we attacked Afghanistan, we
right.
attacked Iraq, and I'm sure Israel wishes that we had also attacked Iran by this point.
Right.
Considering what disasters these other two wars were that have been delayed up until this point, but I don't know how much longer.
I want to go to this point of, we were just discussing the comparison of the 9/11 attacks to the USS Liberty attack in 1967, which, of course, most Americans know nothing about, although there have been, I think, no less than 6 documentaries made about this attack by Israel on a United States ship in international waters. None of them have ever been aired in the United States, although they have been aired in the United Kingdom and other countries. But to comprehend, as you said, this cognitive dissonance, to comprehend how someone, especially, and I'm putting quotes around this, and they're huge quotes, ally could do this and slaughter innocents, I guess we have to go back to something that you brought up just a bit earlier called the Talmud, which is, of course, the Jewish holy book. And on page 112 and on page 116 and 119, you mentioned some quotes from the Talmud. One of them is that only the Jew is human. In contrast, all non-Jews are animals. They are beasts in human form. Anything is permitted against them. The Jew may lie to, cheat, and steal from them. He may even rape and murder them. Now, this is a fact. This is in their book on page 116 about pedophilia from the Talmud. If a grown-up has intercourse with a little girl, it is nothing. For having intercourse with a girl less than 3 years old is like putting a finger in the eye. And on page 119, the Talmud grants permission for Jews to cheat, steal, and kill and deceive non-Jews. Specifically, Jews may use subterfuge, lies, to circumvent Gentiles. We may lie and cheat Gentiles. It is permitted for Jews to cheat Gentiles. All lies are good. Now, Victor, this stuff is in your book. This stuff is true, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Anyone can simply go to Google and type in the Talmud and read essentially what's the most evil book ever printed. This is pure evil, and it's the crux really of Judaism. And even people that identify Israel as being guilty in the USS Liberty attack or their involvement in 9/11, there's still people that say, well, you know, this is just the Zionists. There's some evil elements or some bad elements in the Israeli government. But the crux of all of this that we have to get to, the real core of evil, is Judaism itself. And Judaism is based upon this Talmudic oral tradition that was later printed. But in my book, Jesus Speaks, people can read about what's written about Jesus himself by the Jews, and how his mother was a prostitute, and how Jesus is burning in hell, and how, you know, these things, Jesus and dog excrement, and on and on and on. It's the most vile, filthy, evil, disgusting book ever written. And this is the basis upon how the Jews and their supremacist attitude view all the rest of us. They're
right.
above us in their minds, and we're merely pawns, and they can do essentially anything they want to us if it furthers their aims and their agenda for a greater Israel.
Victor, what is the magazine Forward?
Well, that's a Jewish publication that covers political and current events that pertain to Israel.
Is it a popular magazine?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That journalist that I mentioned earlier, Ari Shavit, on April 9th, 2003, in the magazine Forward, this is from page 89 of your fine book, he said, "The war in Iraq was conceived by 25 neoconservative intellectuals, most of them Jewish." They're saying this. They're bragging about it. They're letting you know they did it. They're publishing it in a widely read Jewish magazine. And yet, our mainstream media, and even the 9/11 truth movement, as you said, are completely silent.
If you look at who's behind this war machine, you have the Defense Policy Board, you have the neocons, the PNAC, all the lobbyists from AIPAC and AEI and JINSA and the Jewish media and Benjamin Netanyahu. When he was asked his thoughts about 9/11 immediately following the attacks, he said, this is an exact quote, it's very good. Well, it's not good, but it will generate immediate sympathy for Israel. Now, who on the planet Earth is thinking this way right. in the hours after 9/11? Everyone was horrified. They were in shock. They were in meltdown phase seeing this stuff on television. And here's Benjamin Netanyahu saying that it's good for Israel, that it will generate sympathy for them. Like, this is a mindset so completely alien mm-hmm. and foreign
right.
to normal human beings
right.
that this would have to go back to this Talmudic mind frame that allows them in their own mind to think that they're better and superior to everyone else. And if you look at really who's involved to facilitate 9/11, first of all, we have to go to the owner of the World Trade Center complex, who's Larry Silverstein, who's Jewish, of course. He was the former president of the UJA, which is a Zionist charity, and the man who negotiated the deal so that he was able to buy this property is a guy named Saul Eisenberg, Jewish. And he used to work for the United Jewish Federation, and he was vice president of AIPAC, which is the most powerful lobby in Washington, D.C. Now, there's also another guy named Ronald Lauder, Jewish, who lobbied to privatize the World Trade Center complex and allowed Silverstein to buy it. Now, Silverstein was good friends with not only Benjamin Netanyahu, who we just mentioned, but also Ariel Sharon, who was the leader of Israel at the time. Both of them were prime ministers. Netanyahu is now, Sharon used to be the former prime minister of Israel. WTC-7, which is the third building to be demolished via this controlled demolition, the mortgage holder was the Blackstone Group, whose vice president and CEO was Steven Schwarzman, again, Jewish. Who controlled all the security at the World Trade Center complex? Well, the name of them is Kroll Associates, owned by Jules and Jeremy Kroll, Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a lot of times I'm using the word Jew here, but everybody involved
was a Jew.
Is Jewish here.
Right.
Everybody is involved.
The one name that really bothered me, and you mentioned him on page 95, was this guy, Dov Zakheim. But who is Dov Zakheim?
Dov Zakheim.
Oh, Zakheim, okay.
Is a Jewish rabbi.
He's a rabbi. And wait. He's a rabbi?
He's a Jewish rabbi.
But I thought you said in the book that he was the comptroller for the Pentagon?
He was.
Wait.
He's also a rabbi. Yeah, Rabbi Dov Zakheim.
Does he have dual U.S.-Israeli citizenship, like Chertoff and Rahm Emanuel?
Yeah, I believe he does. He was a Pentagon comptroller. A lot of people call him the mastermind behind 9/11. And here's an interesting little note that on September 10th, 2001, the day before 9/11, as the Pentagon comptroller, which means he's the chief bean counter there, the money man.
Right.
And he comes out and he says, we cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions. They lost. The Pentagon lost $2.3 trillion.
He's a good comptroller.
Yeah. We lost it. We just lost $2.3
trillion. Trillion with a T.
Trillion.
Right.
With a T. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The day before. Now, his grandfather was also a rabbi and married actually into Karl Marx's family. And then his father belonged to Betar, B-E-T-A-R, which is a Jewish terror organization. So what we have is this rabid Zionist. And yeah, he was a dual American-Israeli citizen, belonged to PNAC, also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And he was a Bush advisor in Texas.
As you say on page 77, every pivotal player involved in the deal to move the World Trade Center complex from New York's Port Authority to Larry Silverstein was Jewish. Every single one. Folks, what can I say? Pick 9/11 evil up. Go to AmericanFreePress.net, click on the bookstore tab, and then on the left side you'll see categories, and the last one is terrorism. Click on that and you'll find Victor Thorne's unbelievable book, 9/11 Evil, Israel's Central Role in the September 11th, 2001 Terrorist Attacks. Pick it up there, or if you don't have access to the internet, just give us a call at 888-699-NEWS. That's 888-699-6397. Go ahead, Victor. I'm sorry.
What we're covering here, Dave, is really the tip of the iceberg,
right.
And this book is only, 150 pages long. I don't even remember how
long. It's actually exactly 122 pages long.
But it's so jam-packed with information that it's not the kind of book that you skim through and you don't have to read, because every page has so much vital information. When you look at someone like Dov Zakim or this Defense Policy Board or all of these different factors, there's such a predominance of this Israeli-Jewish Mossad factor in this book that the preponderance of evidence is so overwhelming. Nobody can deny Israel's involvement in this, and we're coming up on the 9th anniversary now of September 11th, and these psychopaths see that they've gotten away with, yet again, another case of mass murder.
Right.
When you look in the Middle East, what they're doing to the Palestinians, and if you look at even how America got sucked into World War I and World War II by this Zionist element, is that these are the greatest mass murderers in the history of humankind, and they're still allowed to get away with it. And when people tune in to all of these supposed great patriots that are truth tellers, they have to ask themselves, why aren't they identifying the worst example of humanity on our planet Earth right now? Why aren't they pointing their finger at them?
Right.
And why, even more importantly, is why are they covering up for this criminal element and letting them get away with it? Beyond my comprehension.
You said cognitive dissonance, and that is one reason. I think the other reason is that the mainstream media is clearly controlled by Jewish Zionist groups. That's beyond any discussion. It's not controversial. It's a fact. Jews even brag about it. They control
the media.
But
even more importantly is, we all understand why the mainstream media does it. What I'm saying is, why are elements within the quote-unquote patriot movement or 9/11 truth movement? Now, this isn't cognitive dissonance.
Right.
This is a deliberate act of cover-up.
Right. That's what I'm saying. How could anybody read your book, 9/11 Evil, and not come to the exact same conclusion that we have?
Exactly.
They can't. They can't. These are just facts. They're facts. Pick it up. 122 pages. It's not that tough to get through, although on each page there are very, very important facts.
Bombshells.
Yes, absolutely.
Bombshells on every page.
888-699-NEWS, 888-699-NEWS, 888-699-6397, or AmericanFreePress.net, AmericanFreePress.net. On the top, you'll see a bookstore tab. Click on that, and on the left side in the category column, all the way at the bottom is terrorism, where 9/11 evil is. Victor, I thank you so much for writing this and for gathering all the evidence and for putting all the energy into this book so people can just pick up the darn thing and see for themselves who was responsible for the greatest and most severe terrorist attack in the United States history on United States soil.
Yeah. Well, Dave, thank you for making this forum available. And, you know, I do believe that it is a vital, vital book in understanding the world around us. And considering that next year it's going to be the 10th anniversary, and I can remember vividly still the morning of 9/11 and how crushed and devastated I was. And the thought of these criminals, these psychopaths being allowed to get away with it just still burns a hole in me. And it's not that the information's not out there, because it is. And we have to ask, why isn't this being made more available on a more widespread scale? Because if we can identify the criminals, we can stop these further actions in the future. But if we don't point this finger at them, then they basically believe they have carte blanche, and, you know, sometime in the near future they're going to attack Iran then and open up this next powder keg, and it's going to be a catastrophe. So, you know, we have to ask, is this the kind of world we want to live in, where criminals are protected, or do we want to expose them? And thank God that the American Free Press and you make these forums available where this information can get out. So I just want to say thank you to you.
Well, you know, it's not me, and I appreciate that, though. I mean, I read the book. I know what you put together. This information has to get out to people. It's incumbent on them. They need to get this book via the telephone, 888-699-NEWS, or via the internet, AmericanFreePress.net. 122 pages. The evidence is clear. Who was the central figure in the 9/11 terrorist attack? Victor, you say it on page 119. 9/11 evil is Israel.
That sums it up. All right there.
Victor, thanks again.
Well, thank you, Dave.
Take care.